Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakingradio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what we're doing over here, please hit the donate button. I know they would much appreciate it, and welcome to the show. Today I'm joined by a guy that I love having on for a couple of reasons. His ability to retain information I really, really admire. And the guy has an incredible sense of humor, which in current status of the world right now is very, very important. Because I'm finding right now if I can't laugh about certain things, I'm going to go crazy. And Vinny has a great sense of humor. I understand now, Vinny, you are one of the highest listened to radio shows in New Zealand, if not the highest. So I applaud you for that. Welcome to the show, my friend, and thanks for taking time out of your day to join me. Always a pleasure.
Well, the amount of weed that I need, I'm definitely the highest listened to talk radio show host by virtue of the fact that I'm really high and people still listen to me. So what's going on here now in New Zealand is, as everybody's been using this word over and over again, it's been crazy, right? So this is New Zealand's 9/11, okay? Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. And just like 9/11, there are red flags and fingerprints all over it that are incredibly suspicious. So this last couple of days, I mean, since it happened Friday night, I was, I think I did two incredible shows on that Friday that had nothing to do with the mosque bombing. And then I learned that evening that when I say bombing, I mean shooting, sorry. And when I learned that it had happened, I was like, oh no, I just did two really, really good shows and now nobody's going to search for them. Okay, so let's start doing live streams about this thing that everybody's talking about and what have you. And this was an ironic thing for me because one of those shows that I'd done earlier was with Mark Passio and James Corbett. And we were talking about how important it is to be genuine and how important it is to kind of ignore the 24-hour news cycle to a large degree. And I was in full agreement with them. And then this thing hits and I realized that I'm in a position of responsibility and obligation at this point. I am New Zealand's man on the ground on this issue, and it seems like I don't really have much of a choice. I have to go on radio and talk about this. I have to do live streams with, say, Ole Damegaard and talk to Kurt Richard Haskell and read out the works of Ben Vigen, who's a great journalist here in New Zealand, because these guys know what they're talking about. They've given me so much information, and they've been doing this thing for decades in this very specific vein, whereas my research is kind of all scattergraphs. So it's all over the place. I know all sorts of stuff about all sorts of stuff. But when it comes to getting specific on things, I usually don't have a whole bunch of information until I interview somebody who's got it. And then I can usually retain a good amount of that. So let's begin. And I'll describe the video to you that is so controversial that, by the way, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you watch this video or you share this video or you encourage anybody to share this video or watch this video, you can be arrested and go to jail for up to 14 years, according to the New Zealand law. Okay? It's called the Questionable Materials Law. And it means that anything the government deems not good is now an offence to possess, to watch, or to encourage people, other people to view. So that's incredibly suspicious right there, because we've got an immediate cover-up of the direct evidence, okay? And this thing was an absolute shocker, mate, like seriously. But the most shocking thing about it was I had zero emotional reaction. And then once I realized I had zero emotional reaction to all these people getting slaughtered, then I had a visceral emotional reaction, like, there's something wrong with me. What's going on here? Or is there something wrong with the video? Is there anomalies? I don't know, because I'm not an expert video analysis, and that's going to be coming later on in the week when we're going to have a former Black Ops expert coming on, hopefully with Ole Damegaard, to really break down the video frame by frame by frame. I'm not 100% sure if we'll even be able to show the video and everything to the audience. Now, here's why. During my first live stream with Ole Damegaard, the day after the shooting, we were censored in real time, all right? In real time. Ole's been doing this for 25 years, exposing false flags. He has never been censored in real time. I've been talking about every scary subject under the sun for 10 years. I have never been censored in real time. That's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. We are in the end game now. And the cover-up of the information itself by specifically threatening people if they watch it, that kind of thing, it's a double-edged sword. As we know from the Streisand effect, if you tell people, don't look at this, don't look at this, don't look at this, what's the first thing they do? They go and look at it. Okay, so at the same time that the media is feigning this whole, oh, we're so nice, we have so much compassion for the victims and that kind of thing, they're discouraging people from watching the video, and that's encouraging people to watch the video, which is a desensitizing thing, because when you watch it and you see people being gunned down, you have no emotional reaction and you think that there's something wrong with you. Gaslighting. What is this, ladies and gentlemen? It's a psychological warfare technique, at least in this instance it is. You know something. What you know is right in front of you, and it's obvious to you. But somebody who you trust, on the other hand, is insisting that it's not what you think it is. That your eyes didn't see what you saw. That your ears didn't hear what you heard. And as a result, you start going a little bit insane, because a congruent reality that's going with your senses and everything like that is comforting. But when people try to contradict it, spread misinformation, disinformation, that kind of thing, it starts to make you question your own sanity, your own reality, and what is actually going on here. So now, I mean, I called this from day one, it's false flag, you know, just without even thinking about it. When you've been doing this as long as I have, you can see a false flag almost with your eyes closed. It's that obvious to you, because they fit up with so many little things. Now, Kurt Richard Haskell came up with a big list of items that had, the ability for people to discern what is a false flag, what is not, and straight from the outset, that kind of thing. And I want to actually run through this brief list here. And by the way, I have gone through this, and we have seen the evidence, that kind of thing, but I want to warn people that this is not a fully done analysis as yet, okay? The investigation is still ongoing, and generally speaking, you shouldn't really be covering topics like this in real time. However, the reason I'm doing it is for counter-propaganda purposes specifically, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why I say counter-propaganda is because the mainstream media is controlling the narrative over here. When I was on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, all the things I was telling him, he had no idea. And the American media is hiding these facts from you. So this is a list of anomalies, and this is based off of a previous list by Kurt Richard Haskell. So you can search Kurt Haskell, Vinnie Eastwood, and you can see my original interview with him, as well as all the 41 signs of a false flag. But within the first 24 hours, out of the 41 signs of a false flag by Kurt Richard Haskell, we noticed 18, okay? And now bear in mind that not all of these items will be found in relation to every false flag event, and very few, if any, of these items should be found at a real event. Thus, when you start seeing several of these items appear in one event, it is most likely a false flag. Okay, so the video is hidden. All right, so we've got the video being taken off Facebook and YouTube in record time. People will upload it, and within minutes, in some cases before you can even finish watching the video that's just been uploaded, in some cases before it's even finished processing when it's been uploaded, people are having it deleted and having their channels flagged. I've already had my channel flagged, and I'm very concerned about losing 4,500 videos, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very concerned about that. So if you don't think that this broadcast is important, bear in mind it's important enough to censor, it's important enough to control the global narrative of gun control. The perpetrators are identified in record time, minutes after the attack was over. The police found the guys, smashed into their car, dragged them out, grabbed their guns and everything like that, and they were busted, all right? Immediately. That never happens. New laws or military action take place as a result of the event within minutes. Again, after this attack was over, the government already had hundreds of pages of anti-gun laws to pass. How did they do that? If you've been in politics for any length of time, you understand that you have to be in there for a length of time time in order to see anything get accomplished. So for somebody to get 600 pages in 3 minutes, it's just, you got to be freaking kidding me. And you, the event the event receives an abnormal amount of press coverage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this has been practically unprecedented press coverage. During my live stream, I had 400 people watching. This is crazy. During the live stream right now today, maybe 100 people watching or something like that. It's gone back down sort of to normal. And then after this event sort of fades away, I'll go back down to my normal, maybe 40 or 50 people watching that watch my live streams. This event is huge. It is everywhere. You cannot escape it. This is a global mind control operation, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake. The country where the event took place has recently irritated Israel in some way. Now, in 2016, and this is not too recently, of course, in 2016, what was his name? Benjamin Netanyahu threatened war with New Zealand if we voted in favor of the UN sanctions against them, okay? And this is a pretty much of a frightening revelation. However, it's in the background there, and the Israeli connection isn't quite as established as perhaps it should be right now. However, we have had, on that point, Podesta the molester was in New Zealand days before this attack to warn us of a cyber security attack. Ben Vigen from Deadline News got this really, really quickly, and he said somebody's hacking the social media networks and we should be prepared for an event. Now, what does that mean? It means that somebody was building in a back door so that this guy could do his live stream on his Facebook, not get interrupted by any of the automatic flagging algorithms. Okay, so that his whole thing would be able to go through. If I can be censored in real time, how for talking about a mass killing, how can the mass killing itself not get censored in real time, ladies and gentlemen? That is messed up. That doesn't make any sense. And when things don't make any sense, it's because somebody is lying. The event and perpetrators are set up to cause conflict between several different religious, ethnic, or sexual orientation groups. Now, this is a big one. This is going hardcore, ladies and gentlemen. Within days of the event, we had groups of every single racial denomination, you can say, all the oppressed groups. Did they invite any Christians on to denounce the attacks? Nope. Did they invite any white people on to denounce the attacks? Nope. Did they have any of them there to even express their condolences or anything like that on these mainstream media platforms? Nope. Who did they have? Well, they had every minority under the sun and every minority religious group under the sun, as if they're the only people that ever get persecuted or have anything to worry about. And now it appears as though this is just a social justice warrior agenda to hijack this event and blame white people in general, to start a civil war amongst us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do it. Don't get angry with each other. Do not hate an entire group of people just because one of those people was a cunt. All right, just don't do it. It's not smart. The friends and family of the victims do interviews that are not believable. Now, we have a number of reports coming in from people that these interviews were like. These are people who just saw allegedly 50 people get executed by headshots in front of them. Are they crying? Are they shaking? Are they clutching somebody in fear or anything like that? No, they're just sitting there kind of, yeah, well, we did this and there was a da-da-da-da and blah, 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 blah. Not believable. There was even footage, some allege that, and in fact, this is extremely allegedly. I haven't backed this up. In fact, I'm not even going to talk about it. But the emotional reaction to people just wasn't there in a lot of those interviews. One or more bombs do not detonate. And now this is another interesting one. The guy had two jerry cans full of petrol in his car, and he did not burn the place to the ground. So this is another false flag sign that there were undetonated bombs. 22, an unbelievable hero story is released by the press on day two, and we absolutely did have that happen. We had this hero cop story and all of this kind of stuff, so that fits with the false flag agenda as well. A manifesto is released by the perpetrator. As we've seen, the manifesto did get released 9 minutes approximately before the shooting allegedly took place. And at the same time, this manifesto, according to Kurt Richard Haskell, is a copy-paste of the Unabomber's manifesto. Now, those of you who don't know who the Unabomber is, he was an MK Ultra victim. Okay, now, what MK Ultra is, it's a CIA mind control program that was run out of US universities and hospitals. So you'd go into hospital for a checkup and they'd put something on your brain and mess you around, or you'd get tortured or something like that. It wasn't happening in underground secret facilities. The entire intellectual establishment of the United States was infiltrated by the Central Intelligence Agency so that they could kidnap, drug, brainwash, and turn people into weapons, trigger them. They can have keywords and all of that kind of stuff that you would see. The common phrase for this is a Manchurian candidate. Okay, so the Unabomber was a Manchurian candidate. This person, I forget his name, who's allegedly responsible for this one shooting, is also allegedly a Manchurian candidate in my assessment. And because their manifestos are virtually identical, almost word for word, it means that we're looking at a intelligence operation. We're not looking at a lone gunman. And specifically, we weren't even looking at a lone gunman to start with, because two or three other people were arrested on the same day attacking a separate mosque simultaneously. And now you'll see that nobody's talking about that second and third shooter at the second mosque, because legally speaking, a conspiracy is between more than one person. Okay, so now they have to eliminate anybody who's more than a lone gunman, because that way it'll eliminate any possibility of conspiracy. Isn't that interesting? Just forget, ladies and gentlemen, just forget. Okay, now, what's the next item on the list? A drill is taking place at or near the event at the same time. Now, I've got a wee clip here that I do want to play you for about 35 seconds. So you'll give me just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, while I get this clip up and running for you. This is from, what's his name? This is from News Talk ZB. The day of the shooting. Hold on one second here. I'll just get this clip playing for you.
Sure.
Just before we go to the news, I am aware that just through a quirky stroke of timing, there has been a massive armed offenders squad training exercise taking place in Christchurch this week, including today. So if there is any silver lining to a very dark day, the Garden City has had a massive amount of AOS officers in the city for this training exercise. We will keep you up to speed with developments as they come to hand with our special coverage, which continues after six. Raylene has the news.
Okay, there we go. So you can see there, right there, that's mainstream here in New Zealand talking about the drills on the thing. So that's another one down. At the same time, there we go, little to no amateur cell phone footage found of the event is released. Now, cell phones are absolutely ubiquitous. They're absolutely everywhere, and anybody can upload footage and things like that. Nothing has come out except that of the killer himself. Extremely suspicious. An online video found of the perpetrator acting crazy. And again, we're just talking about that video that was released, and is pretty obvious that shooting a whole bunch of people is a little bit crazy. So this is to convince the public straight off the bat. Well, obviously he's crazy. Look, there's a video, it's obvious. And at the same time, trying to hide that video, and at the same time, they're trying to get people to watch it by telling people not to watch it, because what happens when you tell people not to do something? They do it!
Got to interject one thought there, Vinny. You know, when Sandy Hook happened, there was a drill going on 4 miles away from the school. And when 9/11 happened, of course, there was a drill going on that day. And, you know, you think this is a coincidence, folks. It's not. Go ahead. I just wanted to bring that up real quick.
Oh, dude, I mean, I was about to bring that point up for you, because here's the next point on the thing. The details of the event make it impossible to not be reminded of other recent false flag events. Boom.
Exactly.
You know, you just called it right there, Barry.
Exactly. And same mandate.
Next here, and by the way, I just want to define this for people. just because something is called a false flag does not mean people did not die. What it means is a drill goes live.
Exactly. Okay. 9/11 is the biggest false flag in our history, Vinny, and we know 3,000 people died that day. But, you know, to these folks, 3,000, 300,000, 3 million, it doesn't mean anything to them. It's just numbers, whatever it takes to perpetrate the agenda. Go ahead.
What matters is the fear. To get people to abandon their reasoning processes. So next item on the list, the perpetrators wore body armor. And dig this, it was police-issue body armor, okay? Mm. And the weapons he used were police-issue weapons, okay? And this was during an armed offenders squad drill who used those exact same weapons, okay? And all the serial numbers were... And
all the serial numbers had to be numbers. Removed, of course.
The serial numbers, the identifying markers were all etched off of these weapons, ladies and gentlemen. We have an organization called MFAT. They control the import and export of dangerous materials in and out of New Zealand by saying this. Hey, port workers, you see that incredibly suspicious-looking ship over there? And you go, yeah. Don't scan it. And you go, why not? And they say, because it's against the law. And they go, well, what are we supposed to do then? I don't care. Look at those other empty containers over there. Scan them, okay? You just can't scan this incredibly dodgy ship that's full of cases of weapons and things like that that we're bringing into this country for nefarious purposes, all right? Because we are in an island nation in the middle of the Pacific, ladies and gentlemen. Getting weapons here ain't as easy as, like, smuggling them across the border. You've got to get in here. And the way that they've done this is they've corrupted the authorities, all right? MFAT is the one who does that. Guess who's in charge of the investigation and the coordination of the cleanup project after this thing? MFAT, interestingly enough. So that's police body armor on the sky. The next one here is former military members played key roles in the event in some way. Now, the coordinator of the actual drill on the day is, in fact, a former New Zealand military commander. He'd been in the military for 20 years, been a police sergeant for 10 years, and now he's coordinating this entire operation.
The next item
on the list, authorities are on the scene in record time and numbers that would not normally be possible in a short time period without prior knowledge. Within 30 minutes, they had an enormous amount of police officers. They'd locked down schools. They'd locked down hospitals so that people couldn't go in and ask questions. They'd locked the mosque down so that people couldn't go in and take pictures. They'd locked virtually the whole city down within 30 minutes. Crazy. That's insane. If you are in the middle of the street next to a police station firing weapons, it'd take them 30 minutes to get off their asses off the desk and come down and see what's going on. But suddenly they can just shut down a whole city in the same time frame it takes them to walk out their desk. It doesn't make any sense.
The whole police force on site in 30 minutes. Wow, that's pretty impressive, Vinny. I'd like to live in that city. Boy, would you be safe.
Yeah. Authorities immediately find evidence that ties the perpetrators to radical beliefs. So the evidence itself in this particular case is the man's weapons, who are covered in writing. Now, what does that writing all say? Some of it's Cyrillic alphabet, some of it's in Arabic. It appears like these are the names of other mass shooters. Incidentally, Anders Breivik, a Freemason mass shooter who killed 92 people in Scandinavia a couple of years ago, was, according to this person, his idol, okay? And he was trying to replicate his thing. So that's the short version, ladies and gentlemen, of all of the evidence. And that's only the evidence that I uncovered with the help of Ole Damegaard, Kurt Richard Haskell, and Ben Vigen within hours, okay? What is the rest of the world's excuse, okay? I'm not even a trained journalist, ladies and gentlemen. I've just got experience, and I have a gut instinct, and I have a big fat gut, so it's strong. Now, I wonder, of course, what are the implications for the broader United States? Because the media coverage is making it seem like it didn't just happen in New Zealand. They're making it seem like it happened in your hometown, aren't they? It happened in your country, and now you have to pass gun laws because of something that happened here. So a country of 4.1 million people is now, because of one incident, going to set the gun control agenda for the world. Okay? Mm. Okay? That's how it's going to go.
Well, we all know, Vinny, you know and I know that the UN small arms agreement is being forced by all G7 countries right now. We see what's happening in Canada. We're about to pass legislation to take handguns and semi-automatics away from the public. We see the same agenda being played out worldwide. And really, somebody, a person only has to really look at history to understand that when a society becomes disarmed, that society is put under a tyrannical rule. It's happened over and over and over again in history. And we see the same thing being played out right now in front of our faces, guys.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And again, I hate to repeat myself. In fact, I hate people who repeat themselves. But just because it's a false flag does not mean real people didn't die. Now, there's a lot of people denying that the evidence is that the shooting itself was real. They're saying that there's no blood. They're saying that there's no impacts and all of that kind of stuff. And I've seen the video, and there is blood and there are bullet impacts. Okay, now does that mean that it's impossible with our modern technology to make things appear on a screen that don't really exist, that look so real that you'd think that they were real? It's like, have you seen a Marvel movie, cunt? All right, right? The technology does exist. It is possible. However, when you're looking at it and you're like, okay, it takes a lot of practice in order to shoot a scene right. You have to have blood squibs. You have to have explosive squibs for the bullet impacts. You have to have sparks and everything. You have to have muzzle flashes. You have to have a whole bunch of things, ladies and gentlemen. This is thousands upon thousands of dollars of prosthetics and all sorts of other stuff. Now, when I say that, am I saying that that's what they used and it's all fake? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that's what you'd need in order to fake it, and that's exactly to the point of being goddamn ridiculous. Now, so on 9/11, on the other hand, let's say theoretically, so people came out after 9/11 saying there were no planes, and that kind of thing, does it matter? Okay, did it actually affect the outcome of the situation? No, it didn't, because it was a huge propaganda tool, ladies and gentlemen, to make everybody afraid. And then afterwards, there's a counter propaganda agenda that's put in called disinformation. Misinformation is unintentional. Disinformation is absolutely intentional. So I still don't know if that video is 100% genuine. I'm banking on like 96% genuine at this point, but I'm leaving some room for error there, because we've got a black ops expert who's a colleague of Ollie Damagard, and we're going to be getting him on the show as soon as we possibly can. Somebody had an attempt on his life very recently, and he's been suffering massively in hospital. So we wish him well, and hope we can bring him on the show and get his analysis of that video from somebody with 20 years black ops experience. That'd be good. But yeah, I'm out of breath. I'm just so out of breath and restless by this, you know.
Take a deep breath there, Vinny, because you're like the Duracell bunny, man. You get going, there ain't no stopping you. But it's good, buddy. I'm really glad you're bringing this information forward, because you're right on top of it down there, and I'm not. But I see the agenda being played out, and it's just not in New Zealand. But this was just an example of using a situation to really prop up an agenda that is strictly to disarm the public, and that's the end game, is to take our guns away. MK Ultra, man, if you don't believe MK Ultra is real, then you're under my control right now, the way I see it, because it is. And the way they have conditioned society and funneled us in this way of thinking, the way they use fear as their biggest weapon against us, is something we really got to identify. And boy, I'll tell you, this is just, it seems like it's getting crazier by the day out there. What's coming next, Vinny? A major false flag?
No. They already just had it. What happened directly after 9/11? What happened directly after 9/11? United we stand. They wanted to bring everybody together. And then if you're with us, you're against the terrorists. So at the same time, they want to try and bring everybody together. They want to bring everybody together against a perceived enemy. Okay. Now that enemy now, ladies and gentlemen, is white people. If you are a white person, you're on the list now. Okay. Mm-hmm. There were alleged Arab terrorists posting pictures of AK-47s with Arab mass shooter names stenciled on them on the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's Twitter page, saying revenge is coming. Okay, so let me just say this straight from the outset, ladies and gentlemen. Are you afraid right now? Are you confused or something like that? Then their agenda is working. Stop being afraid. Stop being confused. Okay? Just, okay, let me just, this is what I do every time when I'm feeling overwhelmed. Where are you? Just close your eyes. Do this with me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not driving or something like that. Just close your eyes for a second. Where are you? You're right here, aren't you? What are you doing? You're listening to the sound of my voice. Is there any threat in this particular situation right now that you actually need to be afraid of? No, there isn't, is there? All right, open your eyes. You feel better? Okay. Where are you? What are you doing? What do you actually have to be afraid of in this very moment? Just remind yourself of that moment, ladies and gentlemen, when any of this gets too much. Because then you'll stop yourself from saying things that you shouldn't have said, from doing things that you should not have done. Compassion, heart-based intelligence is what we need right now, ladies and gentlemen, not vengeance, not some grand crusade. In fact, I heard a rumor today, the local rugby team in Christchurch is called the Crusaders, okay? And they have now allegedly said that they're going to change their name in honor of this mosque shooting. Okay, so that's a sports team that's been around for nearly 100 years in New Zealand, and they're now just going to change their name because this mosque shooting has. Oh, we can't have a sports team called the Crusaders, you know. It just seems insane to me. What are these people playing at? This isn't a game. What does the sports even have to do with it? That has nothing to do with the information. This is an emotional reaction, ladies and gentlemen. Stop acting as if three-dimensional constructs are going to be improved by emotional reactions. You need intellectual analysis. You need to be detached and emotionless when we look at this situation. When the Prime Minister came out and she said she was grieving with the Arab community, I knew she was lying. You know how I know that, ladies and gentlemen? Because I have felt grief. You see this microphone that I'm talking into right now on the live stream? This belongs to a friend of mine, Evelyn Gilbert. You can look at the playlist Rip Evelyn Gilbert on my show. I bawled my eyes out. I could not walk. I could not think for days upon hearing upon the death of my friend. That is grief. What everybody's feeling right now for these Arabs or Muslims who you don't know is not grief. It is simply fear. We're trying to huddle together for safety because this is a frightening scenario, no doubt about it. If it hasn't made you in any way afraid, you're not human in the strictest sense of the word, ladies and gentlemen. But just because you do feel real human reactions does not mean you cannot control yourself and be better. Just because the government is a ruthless criminal bunch of sociopathic scumbaggery doesn't mean you need to stress out about it, okay? I mean, how's that going to help? It's not going to, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to be clear-headed when you go up against your enemy is what I'm saying, and people need to remember that. We've got so much infighting. We've got so many accusations. People going, oh, it's a false flag. It's a false flag because there's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It might be, okay, but don't just go off half-cocked and stuff like that. Every time you make an extraordinary claim, you must provide extraordinary evidence, ladies and gentlemen. You must. Otherwise, you're being irresponsible. I heard I saw a video today, a guy on YouTube saying that there was no casualties or anything like that. And again, we have to go through the analysis and stuff like that in order to work that kind of thing out. But to make that claim straight from the outset, that kind of thing is a dangerous move. And it's going to make people who are stuck in that emotional reaction space, who are part of the normies, you know, the muggles, who the non-magic folk, they're going to get really pissed off about that and do things like flag your channel and get your live streams removed, okay? I don't think it was necessarily the government that was watching my channel. I think it was somebody who was really hurt, who was in an emotional space, and then they reported me because they didn't like what I was saying. Now, if you're sitting here, ladies and gentlemen, and you like what I'm saying, there's something freaking wrong with you. This is not something that you should do because you like. This is something you should do because you have an obligation. If you are putting your attention into this, it's important that you spend your attention wisely, not on misinformation.
Yeah, absolutely, Vinny. I really try really hard when I'm talking on the radio with people not to put out any disinformation. I try and look at my sources and vet the information to make sure it's accurate. Because putting out disinformation is the worst thing that we can do at this particular point. We're just creating divisions within people that we don't need to create. Right now, we have a real problem on our hands, Vinny, and I see it escalating. Like you said, it's all at war right now. We see the attack on free speech just coming at us left, right, and center right now. We see all these different movements against free speech in the world right now rising. We're in for a real battle here in the next little while. People really have to get themselves ready for this, Vinny. And to me, I have a spiritual connection in my life, and that's what keeps me grounded. If I was trying to look at all this stuff on a regular basis, Vinny, I would go crazy. My mind would go crazy because I see total chaos right now in the world, and it seems to be getting worse by the minute. So for me, it's kind of a scary time in human history. It's an exciting time in human history because I believe a major reset is going to have to happen in the near future. How that's all going to play out and what's going to happen exactly, I don't know, but I do see a major reset coming in society. Something's going to give here in the very near future. I don't know what you think about that, but that's the way I see it, my friend.
Oh, my God. I just had a look at the live stream, and there are 300 people watching.
How many?
Like 300 people watching my live stream right now. So
they get to see my wrinkles.
Well, one can only hope.
I'm an old fart, Vinny. I'm 64 now, buddy. I get my pension this year. That's how old I am. I was at the original Woodstock. That's how old I am.
You know, actually, that reminds me of something important. I was talking with Ian R. Crane earlier this week, and he was talking about the Jerry activists in England, and I noted that it is mostly the elders that go out and do the analysis and are doing the activism in our society. Now, the youth, not so much. They're glued to their cell phones and all of that kind of stuff. And I don't want to be disparaging, and don't want to say all millennials are idiots that are distracted and unhealthy and uneducated and brainwashed by a society and that kind of thing. That's only like 99.99% of them, okay? Like, I'm sure there's like one or two millennials that aren't, you know, messed up. But the thing I'm talking about here really is how indeed we can just calm down and stop judging everybody and getting at each other's throats, because that's what they want. This isn't that's exactly what the terrorists said in the manifesto that was copy pasted from the Unabomber from MK Ultra. Okay, this is a psyop, ladies and gentlemen, a psychological operation. What is the point of it? To get us fighting with each other so that we don't resist the new world order that is being set up right now, ladies and gentlemen. How do you set up a dictatorship, ladies and gentlemen? You take arms off of those who would resist you. Okay, how did Hitler do this?
He started off. How did Stalin do it?
Okay, so here's how they do it. First of all, they go, "We're not taking your guns off you. We just want to register the weapons." Okay, I'll register the weapons. Yeah. Okay, and on that weapon registry thing, what political party do you belong to, by the way? Oh, I belong to the Communist Party. And okay, yeah, that's cool. That's no problem. Thank you for registering your weapon. A week later, a whole bunch of jackboots are outside my house. In fact, they're outside the house of every single Communist Party member who had a freaking gun. And they're confiscating the guns off them. And they go, "Don't worry, we're only confiscating the guns. We're not going to exterminate you yet." Yeah. We've got to stop freaking trusting authority, man. Authority does not have your best interests at heart, because theoretically it may never have. I mean, we're sitting here and we're just having a wee bit of a laugh about it, and that's the thing. Gallows humor, ladies and gentlemen. During World War I, when the troops were in the trenches, during surgery, when the surgeons are in the theater, the horror that they see in front of them can only be dispelled by but one thing: their sense of humor. You guys have not lost your sense of humor yet, and for that I am grateful. We must retain it. It is that important. And on a physiological level, if you're feeling fear, a whole bunch of stress hormones go through your body. If you're laughing, a whole bunch of happy hormones go through your body. So that's why I like my show, because at the same time I'm scaring the shit out of you, I'm making you laugh about it and dispelling the poison therein. Okay, this is how fruit works. Fructose is a poison, ladies and gentlemen. Sugar is a poison. But when you eat an apple, the apple has this thing called fiber, which neutralizes the poison when it's being digested. You need to package the poison with the cure, ladies and gentlemen. So please, if you are watching a lot of videos about this subject within the last few days, ask yourself, are these people enjoying themselves while they're talking about these really scary topics? Are they fun to listen to? At the end of the show, do you feel elated? Do you feel different? Do you feel as though you've reached a deeper, profound understanding of the situation? Or do you feel like you got repeated to quite a bit? Do you feel like you haven't really learned anything new? That's a question we all got to ask ourselves when we're listening to people. And do these people have accurate information? Can they be trusted? You know, such and such and blah, blah, blah. It's important that we do not lose our heads, even though the situation may be a dark one.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about a lot of dark things that are going on in our world, but I always try and offer solutions to our problems. And you know what, Vinny? I honestly believe that every problem we have right now on this planet, whether it be environmental, especially environmental, but monetary, we have the solutions to solve the problems, especially when it comes to environmental issues. And that's something I spend a lot of my time talking about now. It's one of the main focuses of my conversation, because I really don't think the human race is really, really getting just exactly what's going on with our biosphere, what's going on with our oceans, and what's going on with our mammals and our insect populations on the planet. And what we're looking at in the very near future is very bleak. And I say that after a lot of research into the subject. I've gone to multiple sites and vetted the information. And boy, I'll tell you, if 50% of what I'm seeing is true, then we are really, really on a dark course right now. You know, political, you know, Vinny, all this political stuff, it'll rise and it'll fall. You know, political parties come, societies rise, and societies fall. But we've always had a planet that would support life. But I honestly believe right now the human race is on a path that we could be responsible for extinguishing life on this planet. And that is something I wish I'd never be able to say to myself in my life, but I honestly believe that right now. So I want to talk about the dark stuff, but I also want to bring solutions. And one of them, of course, you know and I know, Vinny, is the incredible cannabis plant, what that could do for this planet if we fully embrace it. I don't want to get off subject, but it's something I talk about a lot. We are right now in Canada on the verge of really, really embracing hemp as a building material because of a company in Calgary called Just Biofiber. They're putting out an incredible building product that can be constructed now for the same prices as normal construction done with wood. But if you look at the properties, Vinny, it's just there is absolutely no comparison between the two products. So I spend a lot of time promoting that because I know and you know that if the world embraces industrial hemp the way it's meant to be used on this planet, we could give the planet a chance to survive. But right now, it doesn't look very good for our future. Vinny, I didn't want to change subject, but it's something I wanted to chat with you for a minute about.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I've just got a couple of points on that. Number one, first timers, if this is your first time hearing about what a false flag is, I do not envy you right now. When I first heard what a false flag was, I had an enormous reaction, close to a mental breakdown, ladies and gentlemen. So those of you who previously trusted the government, thought that they were looking out for you and that kind of thing, and you now realize that you're just a pawn in their game and that they are willing to sacrifice you or anybody else to fulfill an agenda that benefits nobody but themselves. If this is your first time hearing this information, I want to express my condolences that you've gone through your life this long without this realization coming to you. And I'm sorry to be the one to bring to you. Nobody wants to be the parent that tells their child that there is no Santa Claus, but there isn't ladies and gentlemen, this present under the tree brought by this assassin was not brought by a magical, mystical, fictional character. It was brought to you by your government and the people who work with them to enslave and mind control the population on a mass level. And you would think to yourself, but I would never do that, so therefore nobody else in the world would ever do that. That is a very, very foolish assumption, ladies and gentlemen, that assumes that everybody in this world thinks the way you do. But they do not. The people of this world that actually control things, they don't think like us at all. So, for instance, let's say somebody takes something off you, your immediate thought is, I'm going to go back to them and take it off them. Ah, but what if they've got a hell of a lot of guns? What if they've got a hell of a lot of subversion? What if they've got a whole huge amount of financing to prevent you from taking stuff back off them? Okay? You sit back and you wait. And you start infiltrating, you start propagandizing, you start subverting, and then sooner or later, the Republic of the United States will fall back into the hands of England. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's how the elite of this world work. They play the long game, the slow game, and the shadow game, and no other games, ladies and gentlemen, because if they were to play any other games that you or I play, they'd have a possibility of losing, and they need it to be rigged because they are unwilling to give up, and neither must we be. Okay, give the devil their due, ladies and gentlemen. They really care about their agenda getting through, and they are willing to sacrifice anything, anything, anything in order to see it through. So must we. We cannot go out and be violent and have a massive banner for these people to use against us to get everybody divided so that we can be conquered. We must prevent this from happening. We must use our hearts and we must use our humor, because humor cuts through the lies. It really does. And people have no idea how powerful this weapon is until they start using it against people who don't have one, you know?
Well, we're dealing with people in this world, Vinny, that don't have a soul. I don't know how else to describe some of the things I see going on in this world with child sacrifice and child rituals and everything else that's going on. These people don't have a soul. And a person like you, a person like me, I believe we have a soul. We love our children. We love our fellow man. We don't want to see this stuff come to the human race. And here it is right in our face. And you're right. We need to really get our acts together and put aside these divisions that stop us from communicating with each other. And I try and work on that every day, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing, you were talking about the one solution be cannabis, hemp, and absolutely not. I agree on some parts, but I completely disagree with the premise in the first place, specifically because of what Mark Passio said earlier today on his podcast, is that nothing will change unless the aggregate human morality changes. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. If you are in accordance with natural law, that one law of the universe that is strong and it is as powerful a force on you right now as gravity, ladies and gentlemen, it has a cause and it has an effect. Do not take that which does not belong to you. Okay, that means giving the right to the government to boss people around. Okay, do you have that right to boss people around? No, you don't. Giving the government right to kill people. Do you have the right to kill people? No, you don't. Giving the government the right to steal people's money off of them at the point of a gun. Do you have the right to do that to anyone? No, you don't. Okay, so that means that if you support all of those agendas, you might be a moral relativist. It means you think that morals are not objective and unbreakable principles of the universe that react when broken. It means you think that morality is subjective. Whatever I'm feeling today, that's all that matters. That's not the truth, ladies and gentlemen, and it will get a lot of people killed and enslaved. Here's how the dynamic works. When you want freedom, ladies and gentlemen, become a moral person and show a good example to those around you. And if you are good enough, others will see that example and attempt to emulate it. An increase in morality increases freedom, but this only happens in the aggregate. if I am one moral journalist in New Zealand doing these broadcasts by myself, that is not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody needs to understand the moral obligation that they all have. When you see evil, you must do something about it. That is your moral obligation. And once everybody, or at least a large enough amount of people, understand that what objective morality is, then things will change. What's the likelihood that cannabis will become legal in a perfect peace-loving way within a society that's completely immoral, that justifies government murdering, stealing, and bullying people that they don't have the right to do? Okay, it's not going to happen. So that's... But on the same time, that was what I disagreed with about your statement. What I agree with about your statement is I was talking about the metaphysical, okay? So the morality is the metaphysical. Once we've got that in sorted, then we can get the physical properties in this universe all lined up. And I agree, cannabis is the way. Not just one way, the way. Okay, all of your medicine, all your industrial products, all your food, all your rope, all your building materials, everything you need for an industrialized society, from your plastics and your shampoos and what have you. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the oil industry, the end of the steel industry, the end of logging, the end of every single industry that's ripping up the earth. Okay?
Exactly.
That's what cannabis can do. So, ladies and gentlemen, you increase your morality, not somebody else's. Increase your own morality. Do what you know to be right, even if it is the hard thing to do. You must show true valor, ladies and gentlemen. Valor is not bravery. It is not courage. These things are fleeting. They disappear as soon as the need for them goes. Valor is when you are faced with such a threat, so insurmountable, so impossible to defeat, that your failure and even your death is not only likely, it is a certainty, but you stand your ground and you fight to the death anyway, because it is the right thing to do. This is the quality we must imbue, ladies and gentlemen, within the remains of the human race that still have the ability to think. If we do not, well, our defeat will inspire nobody, and the entire human race may lapse into darkness for all eternity, and that will be our fault.
And our children will curse us because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. This is a call-out video to the men left in the world with testicles, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of them out there anymore. It seems like our society has become so apathetic, so absolutely, what's the word I'm looking for, ignorant to what's going on around them and the implications for the future. To me, the most important thing I can do right now is try and share the little bit of knowledge I've got with my fellow man and show them what's coming and how we can stop it. Because we do have the tools in our toolbox to stop this thing. We do. But it's going to take a major effort, buddy, at this point. Morality is, in our society, as low as I thought I'd ever see it in my lifetime. When I have mainstream media propping up 10-year-old transsexuals parading in front of grown homosexual men, and these grown homosexual men throwing money at an 11-year-old transvestite, I know we've hit the bottom. And society really, really must address the moral issues that are undermining us, period. However you see that doing yourself, I think that is the root of all evil in our society, is this incredible entity called evil, or whatever you want to call it, my friend.
Yeah, and people think that evil's not a real thing, like, oh, it doesn't exist, or religion made that up, that kind of thing. It's like, no. It's simple. Do you cause harm? Okay, and do you care about whether or not you cause that harm? That's evil. Okay, do you create? Okay, does that creation help people? Okay, you're good. All right, so that's simple as it. Do you create harm, or do you create goodness? All right, that's the basic difference between good and evil. Now, bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, you are evil and you are good. And it just depends what somebody wants to bring out of you. There are certain techniques that you can do to make people change who they are without them even knowing that they're doing it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind control is real. And if you believe you're not currently under mind control, it's work.
We're down to the last 4 minutes here. Vinny, you know what? I've got to thank you for joining me today, buddy. Why don't you plug your show and where people can find you? And we'll close out the hour, but it has been a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thanks, brother. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. I really do want people to sign up and become a Patreon this month. If you can, please, ladies and gentlemen, to support the operation that I'm doing here, I very much appreciate it. Embedded on the homepage is this particular video that you're watching right now. So I want you to go to that homepage, share this video with as many people as you can, because the first, 20 minutes of this show, Barry, where I broke down all of the pieces of evidence and stuff like that in quick succession. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody has to goddamn see that. Everybody. Please, please go to the homepage of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and share this video with as many people as you humanly possibly can. Directly beneath that video on the homepage of the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, the Christchurch Mosque Massacre and False Flag Evidence with Ole Damegaard is embedded there, and the show archives and that kind of thing. That was a 3.5-hour live stream that was so controversial and so full of evidence that we got censored in real time, and that is available right there on the homepage, ladies and gentlemen. If you are in New Zealander, there is a Kiwi Bank account right there on the homepage as well that you can donate. You can set up an automatic payment. And if you are overseas, on the other hand, if you just want to give a one-off gift through the PayPal, there are buttons there. If you want to set up a weekly or monthly button, there are there as well. And for those of you in the chat room on YouTube, you can always do a super chat. And what you do is you just click on that little dollar sign super chat button down there and then just drag the little cursor up or down to however much you think this show is worth to you. Now, bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, nobody has to pay for any of the content on the Vinny Eastwood show. But if you do want to support me and that kind of thing, there are a few rewards that are on the homepage there, and you can just click on the location and open them up for your rewards. It'll have a little title that says already donated, and then you go there. Now, somebody in the chat room here has mentioned Sam Vaknin, and I absolutely agree. You've got to have a look at that Sam Vaknin one. On the homepage of my YouTube channel, I think if you go through to that, there's a couple of videos from a few weeks ago that were just so extraordinarily powerful that it changed me in a lot of ways, ladies and gentlemen. So if you go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/user/Mr News Guerrilla Media there, and click on videos, you'll see that there's some videos in there with Mark Passio and James Corbett, as well as a few weeks earlier when we had people talking about 5G. We had Max Egan on, there's just so much good content that I've produced within the last month alone, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be the biggest year of the Vinny Eastwood show that's ever been seen, and I've been doing this for 10 years, and we're just really ripping into it, ladies and gentlemen. So many people are subscribing, so many people are donating, so many people are watching the live streams. That it's just, it's beautiful.
Thanks, Vinny. I'm working really hard. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being the humble man you are, and thanks for what you're doing, buddy. Keep up the great work, Vinny.
Thanks. I get that a lot.
Okay. Hey, listen, we're going to do a show in the next little while just on cannabis, okay, Vinny?
Sure, no problem, man.
Okay,
and
buddy,
we can bring on, if we can, I'd like to bring on the joint leaders of the legalized cannabis party with me, if we can.
Sure, let's do that in the next couple of weeks. I got to let you go because I got Roger Landry coming up for the next hour, and I got to take a pee break. So
no problem.
Thanks, Vinny. Bye for
now. Catch
you
later.
Okay, well, welcome back to the second hour, folks, and thanks again for Vinny for joining me the first hour. Always a pleasure having that guy in. It's hard for me to get a word in, edgewise, but I seem to have that same problem with my second guest this next hour. It's all good, because once I get Roger on, it's like the Duracell bunny. It's hard to get him stopped. Hey, Roger, welcome to the show. And listen, we have not scripted anything for today's show. We haven't talked about it, but we never do, because there is a pile of things going on. And
you actually, me and Vinny in the same day, actually in the same show.
I don't get to talk much, Roger. I get to talk very little for 2 hours, so it's all good, buddy. It's all good.
Okay. You probably got a picnic lunch sitting next to you or something.
Just sitting back enjoying the show, my friend. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, let me see. Geez, World War III's, I don't know, pretty close to happening, closer than the last time you and I talked. The global monetary reset is progressing, even though people are absolutely blind to it because they wish to be, not because it's not actually happening. There is a revolution brewing between any type of a liberal and a, I don't know, conservative faction, whether it be in Austria, whether it be in Guatemala, or whether it be in the United States of America or Canada. So we are looking at civil unrest. We are looking at the massive degradation of our health. We are looking at our sterility going down the drain. We are looking at a possibility of World War III in the very near future. And with our GMOs and our geoengineering, we've just about destroyed the biosphere to the point where it probably won't be able to make a comeback. All right, where do you want to start, Barry?
Yeah, isn't that scary, Roger? I just read a report on the effects on the biosphere. And I've read three in the last couple of months, and it shocks me, buddy. It really does. Go ahead.
There are. A little bit. There's a petition out there, and I haven't touched this story in almost 2 years. And when the last time I looked at it, and it is published on the Liberty Beacon, the last time I looked at it, there were over 1,000 global researchers of stature who had signed this petition stating that the big GMO experiment was an absolute and abject failure, and if it wasn't stopped immediately, it could have irrevocable and irreparable irreparable damage to the biosphere, which means that the biosphere will start to shut down. Mm-hmm. Now, this is over 1,000 globally renowned scientists, but yet the United States, where we're supposed to be the most, I don't know, educated, and our Canadian friends, you guys to the north, the most educated, the highest standard of living on the freaking planet, and we have how many countries that have banned GMOs to protect the health of their citizens? Except we eat more GMOs, you and me, than just about the rest of the planet combined.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's crazy, Roger. I try to avoid them like the plague, buddy. I take a list to the grocery store when I go buying food now. And anything that contains a GMO, I avoid it. It's restricting my shopping a lot, but I've managed to avoid them.
When you tell people you need to eat healthy, so you need to buy natural foods. You need to buy foods that say, okay, they are not GMO strains. Except that you gotta understand, people like I don't know, those who run the big ag companies, They don't abide by any of these rules, okay? Because you go out and buy bread that says it is non-GMO natural bread. They're absolutely right. It's not GMO. But guess what they use to dry the grain that they use to make your natural bread? Guess what they use to dry it, Barry?
Radiation, maybe?
Glyphosate. It is a phenomenal drying agent, and it is sprayed all over the grain to get it to dry much quicker so they can save some money and get it produced that much quicker and processed. Yes, glyphosate is used as a drying agent. So you're not getting GMO food. You're getting food that they're lying to you and telling you is natural, but it's sprayed with a known cancer-causing agent, glyphosate, a genetically engineered chemical.
Yeah, and it's showing up everywhere, all through our society, Roger.
It's even showing everywhere. Up in our vaccines. Glyphosate is...
Why would they put glyphosate in a vaccine?
They don't. I think it's just as a result of some of the other things they use in those vaccines, like chicken embryos and, I don't know, fetal tissue. Yeah, things like that, okay? So the glyphosate, I think, is a background. It's not at a level that's alarming, but you're absolutely right. What the hell is it even there for? I dare you to name one thing that we, as the, again, supposedly the most uplifted modern society, North America, I dare you to mention any one of these, whether it be health, whether it be entertainment, whether it be education, whether it be political, whether it be monetary, that we are not seeing some of the worst tyranny we have ever seen in the history of this planet. Name one, and I'll give you a list so freaking long, you'll have to extend the show 2 more hours.
Well, you'd have to talk to Steve about that.
Just make it a point. Go ahead.
I know you are, Roger, and I know where you're going with this, and go ahead, carry on, because I've heard it before, but I love hearing it again.
Well, everybody here has heard most of this, but you hear it in pieces, because one week on my show, I will have a rant on GMOs, and the next week I will have a rant on vaccines, and the next week I'm ripping apart the freaking liberals in Congress. And so it, and then we try to eventually put all the pieces together in something I like to call connecting the dots. Okay, every once in a while I get on a show like this, and I've got to do a quick run-through scenario. What is North America, what is America suffering at this point? Because where goes America goes a lot of the world, and that's not being arrogant. That's an actual fact, okay? Right. And another show, we can tie all that together for you. But let's talk about where is North America? Where is it? What has happened specifically in America? But everything I'm going to say applies to either a slightly lesser degree or maybe even a more of a degree to my Canadian friends. So don't believe this is not applicable. But let's start with entertainment, okay? Our children, our teenagers, our young adults, and our, I don't know, I guess you would have to say the X generation. All of these people in here today, they absolutely cannot survive without electronic entertainment. What happened to your emotions? Your emotions when I was young, and I'm 64 years old, used to be when I was angry, somebody could see in my face I was angry, and they knew I was angry. Okay? Today, if I'm angry, I put a pouty face emoticon on my screen, and everybody knows I'm angry. And the freaking bad part of this, Barry, is I don't even really have to be angry. But I think my friends, that's what they expect of me. So that's what I'm going to put. And social has become a construct of what you want people to think you are. It's no longer what you are. And the thing of it is, the vast majority of your friendships are not in real life. I have, because of what I do, zero friends. I very well tell you, I'm not exaggerating. I work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, haven't had a day off in over 9 years. And I do the Liberty Beacon Project. But people have friends, okay? They do, right? Most people have about a dozen friends until they get to Twitter and Facebook. Then they've got 5,000 here and 3,000 there, and they are playing to them constantly, constantly. Who suffers? The real people around them, reality. So that's the entertainment part. Let's go to the health part, okay? We're drinking fluoride, which opens our brains up and allows poisonous metals, neurotoxic metals, into the brain to start slaughtering brain cells. Where does the aluminum and the mercury come from? Either vaccines, geoengineering, or a ground saturated with aluminum. There's going to be some people out there who are scientifically adept, and they're going to say, free aluminum doesn't even exist in the soil. What the hell is this guy talking about? Why did Monsanto apply for a patent to grow, to genetically modify seeds to grow in aluminum-saturated soil if it doesn't exist? It does. Guess why? Because geoengineering, which is happening over the top of us constantly, every single day damn near, for years, one of the biggest components they're spraying is tons upon tons of nano-sized particles of aluminum, which they state have a very long hang time. They do their nano-sized particles, and they reflect sunlight to cool the surface. All right, can I explain something to everybody out there who may not be aware of this? Anything in a freaking gravity well will eventually settle to the ground. So if you've got tons and tons of nano-sized particles of aluminum that will eventually settle to the ground, you're going to breathe them in. And when you're breathing them in and drinking your fluoridated water, that blood-brain barrier that protects your brain from metals getting into it, the fluoride takes that blood-brain barrier down. Let me ask you a question. All of you out there thinking right now, what country has the highest level of dementia and Alzheimer's on the planet? Oh, gee, would that be America? Let me ask you another question, okay? What do you think they found when they took the brain of someone who died from Alzheimer's and cut a cross-section of it? What do you think they found an overabundance of in this brain that absolutely shouldn't have been there?
Well, of course, aluminum.
Aluminum.
Of course. It's everywhere, Roger. If it's being sprayed in our sky, Roger, it's hitting our soil, it's ending up in our food, it's ending up in every aspect of our society. So not only are we breathing it, we're being saturated with it. Go ahead.
And our brains are being saturated with it. Your body can take a lot of aluminum. Is it good for it? No, it isn't. But it can take a lot of it, okay? And still function at least semi-normally. What happens when you drink the fluoride is you literally break down the blood-brain barrier protection provided by your body as you grew older. You literally open the door. The fluoride opens the door and allows the aluminum in. We have the highest levels of brain killing, dementia, Alzheimer's on the planet. Who is the most gene-engineered and vaccinated society on the planet? Both of them purveyors of massive amounts of aluminum. Yeah, vaccines, just about every one of them has a bunch of aluminum in it. It's called an Abigail. And what does it do? It keeps the vaccine from, spoiling, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's aluminum, and it doesn't need to be there, and it's going into your body. All right, so now we've talked a little bit about the health issue. We could talk a lot more. We could go into the vaccine issue. We could explain to everybody that we know because of, people who just jump up and tell the truth every once in a while. All right. We know for a fact that this government has hidden studies proving over and over again by, research you and I paid for because we pay their salaries. We literally fund this government, proving the absolute connection between autism and vaccines. Not only that, but it proved that in young African American children, male children, it was 250 times, they are 250 times more susceptible to autism if they received that vaccine. That study was hidden for 13 years. How many young infant American children, African American children, infants, didn't have to live a life of of autism. Didn't have to. We're talking hundreds of thousands, maybe over a million. So we go through all of this. We've talked a little bit about health. Let's talk about politics, okay? I want to talk to you about how angry I am when I read a story about a 10-year-old girl who brought homework home and her mother looked at it, had a total conniption, and went to the school the next day. What was it all about? Her homework that she had to memorize was teaching her that our rights are not inalienable. They are not granted by our Creator. Her homework told her that our rights were granted as benefits by a benevolent government. So again, rewriting the Constitution, rewriting our history, and teaching our children that they belong to this government, which is exactly the opposite of the truth. We live in a what? We live in a republic. We live in a republic whereby we are the sovereigns. So now we've got the political issue. Let's go into the educational issue, okay? How are we being beaten down there? What is Common Core? Gee, Common Core, every time I even hear of it, I think of the Soviet fist rising up into the air. Common Core! Common to the core! Right? Everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. Except that doesn't work, okay? Our schools are teaching our children to be common. They are teaching them that if you excel way too much, you make everybody look bad, and that's not good. And that if you lag way behind, you shouldn't be penalized for it. You should be recognized for at least showing up at school. Okay? Oh, and wait till you see the math. When you and I were kids, Barry, we did 1 + 1 = 2. Today, it's a 30-step problem whereby you've got to write, draw pictures, talk about Sally. You know, what did her dog do? How many times did he go to the bathroom? This is it, to do 1 + 1 = 2.
It's just to multiply 3 times 4 is a 34-step process.
Listen to me. This is not. This is something that has been all across the country. Well, guess what? Florida's governor just decided they ain't having it in Florida anymore.
They kicked it out.
But this is Common Core, okay? You would think that a system of education that was given to an entire nation would have been developed by the best, okay, minds within the field of education. Common Core was developed by the Gates Foundation and other corporatist lobbies
to turn out pretzels.
To do what, though?
Turn out pretzels.
Yeah, they wrote up Common Core to produce good workers who didn't have the assets, the knowledge, or the ability to use those assets if they did have them, because they don't have the knowledge. People who will be great workers but won't challenge the system. Everybody is common. Everybody is equal. That makes good workers. It doesn't make good thinkers or good leaders. Not at all. And they don't want leaders. They don't want leaders. So
the last thing Barry, he wants to do is to think.
So what have we not covered? We've covered entertainment. We've covered health. We've covered education.
We haven't covered media, have we?
Oh, we started out a little bit with that, but I would really love to punch a few holes in that. I would.
Well, yeah, okay? Go ahead. There's a lot of holes that could be punched right now, Roger. But yeah, go ahead. We'll talk about that for a minute.
I want to talk about the fourth branch, okay? I want to talk about the executive branch. I want to talk about, all the our Supreme Court, our Congress. I want to talk about the branches, okay? The fourth branch was supposed to be in this country, and for a very long time indeed was, the purveyor of truth, the protector of liberty, okay? And the stewards of democracy, because we are a republic, but we are ruled in a democratic fashion. So here we go. This is what we're supposed to have. What do we have today? What we have today is a totally bought and paid for media. What we have today is 91% negative reporting on a president that has accomplished more in the first 2.5 years and met more of his promises in the first 2.5 years than any president I can remember, and I've been alive for 15 election cycles, for 4 years each. So if you stop to consider today, all right, this guy is setting records at keeping promises, setting records at getting things accomplished, but we've got over 91% negative reporting on him. This is sedition. What do you call it, Barry?
Oh, I call it a complete sham when nothing is really being exposed on media that's important. I mean, take a look what's going on in Canada. I mean, our government just bought out CBC and CTV, gave them $600 million to prop up proper reporting. All mainstream media outlets are under attack. I've never seen censorship like I'm seeing right now, Roger, and it's just ramping up like crazy. I mean, I had Vinny on the last hour, and they interrupted the first time. And Vinny's been around for about 10 years now. Never had a video. He's been doing it for about 10 years. Yeah. But he's never had a live feed ever, ever interrupted. And they cut his live feed right in midstream. Of course, they were talking about the going-ons at the mosque down in New Zealand. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that for a few minutes when we get a sec. And exactly what you see there.
I would tell you, and again, I'm the person who never lies, and people ask me, well, why do you constantly say that? I constantly say that not to prove that I'm more righteous than anybody else, but to prove I'm the laziest individual on the planet. That's fact. Most people, including, and yes, this goes right to what you're talking about, Barry. Most people out there, okay, who, even if you tell a lie for a living, what you don't understand is that lie now becomes part of your memory. You have to remember it. You have to remember how you responded to it. And then the next time somebody asks you about that, you've got to tell another lie about that, which means you have to remember both of them, and you have to remember which iteration came first and how it morphed. And then someone else comes in the room and asks you another one. I got to tell you something. When you're 64 years old, the last thing you want to do is spend most of your day trying to figure out the last lie you told so you don't tell it wrong again. I am the laziest SOB you're ever going to meet. If I always tell the truth, I don't have to remember what I said last.
Good point.
You want to tell
this? Your lies will always catch you, buddy. Go ahead.
Yep. You want to tell this to some of our journalists? I told you there was going to be a tie-in. I would explain to you that what we are seeing today after 3.5 years, okay, since he first declared, or when they even thought he might declare, okay, of all of this crap, what are we seeing today? As far as media goes, where do you put the media at right now as far as your government and our government?
I put the media as the biggest enemy of the people, period.
You're absolutely right, because my next statement was going to be they have gone from being the fourth branch, okay, to the tyranny in our backyard.
Absolutely.
We know for a fact that the Clintons have definitely, okay, we know this to be a fact, okay, have committed treason. We know for a fact that that Obama has committed sedition. We know for a fact, and I could go on and on and on and on, that these are actual crimes of stature, big-ass crimes, okay, that if anybody else would have done them, they'd be in prison for life. Yet they are running massive multi-million-dollar research and whatever into how many times Trump farted in 1976 so that they may be able to find something, you know, to hold up against him. I'm not kidding. What about all of the massive crimes that are staring you right in the face? What about the Clintons? What about, and I could go on, the whatabouts are freaking insanely long. What's going on here?
Well, then they wonder why they've lost all credibility with the American people.
Yeah, well, it's it's not
go
even.
Ahead, Roger. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's not even a matter of credibility at this point. I really don't. I don't think Americans, well, they definitely not in my lifetime, and I doubt very seriously, even in my father's lifetime, if anybody has seen a point at this low an ebb in American society. This has got to be our low point. Even during the wars, I mean, we banded together. It was all patriotism. Even whether it was right or wrong, we survived and we thrived. Today, it's just so damn different.
It is a nation divided, Roger.
Yep.
And it's taken many, many years to get to the United States to get to this point. And we know that, you know, a nation doesn't become divided like this overnight. Yep. That they have used many, many tools and many, many mechanisms over the last 30, 40 years to get America to where it is now. A nation fighting amongst itself. Fighting so amongst itself so much they can't identify the true enemy.
Oh, we can identify the true enemy. It's just that you and I discussed in our last portion of this discussion that the mainstream media, once we've made that identification, will ignore it.
And unfortunately, a lot of the population still goes to the mainstream media for their information. We've got to break that paradigm.
But we are making dents. I can tell you that in the year 2000, I owned a computer company called New Millennium Computers. In the year 2000, right, I didn't see any of this. None of it. And now look at it. It's absolutely gone rampant. But the thing of it is, all right, I also could count all of the people I knew on the digits on my body, of which there are 21, but we won't go into that. And I could count all of the patriots. I could count all of the active patriots. Like Barry, like myself, okay, that really were involved, the activists, I could count them all on body digits. Today, I would need to have about 1.5 million clones to do that. There's a lot more of us today, Barry, than there were in the year 2000. A lot more.
I agree, because we have an age of information where we've been able, you know, Roger, if we didn't have the age of information, and I didn't sit down about 8 or 9 years ago and watch a video called Architects of Truth 9/11, I still might be in the sleep.
No, you're right.
That video sure woke me up that night, buddy, and my life hasn't been the same since.
You are absolutely right. I'm going to give, I like to call these pre-predictions, because this is, I'm predicting something that probably isn't even going to happen, but what would happen first, okay? If you consider that the internet would never have been born, all right? And I remember in the late 80s when there was discussion of the internet in the early 90s, but we hadn't really even seen it yet. But we did have a massive technological society that was thriving. I am going to tell you right now that if the internet would never have been born, the United States today would be a socialist power under an iron fist. Mm-hmm. The internet is the only thing that saved that from happening. I truly believe that from the bottom of my heart.
And henceforth, they're trying to shut it down now, Roger.
Of course they are.
And they're making absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, see all that coming. The thing of it is, as long as the cables are there, people are going to find a way to send a signal. You know, shutting the internet down is not as easy as throwing a switch. It don't work that way. You have how many relay servers across the entire planet? You've got how many people online? 3 to 4 billion? You don't just throw a switch. If you throw a switch at main relay stations, you know what? People have what's called virtual private networks. They have a way to get around things. Okay, so shutting down the internet, people go, oh, they're going to shut the internet down on us. It's a hell of a lot harder than you think it is. It really is.
I agree, Roger. And my son actually broke that down for me one night. And he says, Dad, you know, they're going to have a hell of a time trying to shut it all down. And people always find back doors and ways to communicate. And we will do that if that time comes, Roger.
Yep.
Boy, and have you been watching what's going on in my country with my great prime minister? Oh, man. Have you been following that at all, Roger? Giving it any of your attention? I know sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I haven't even been following our politics as deeply as I would like to for the very simple reason we're going through one of those growth spurts. And when you go through a growth spurt, the managing director has to have his face stuck in everything, and I kind of really don't like that, but...
Okay. Well,
so you tell me if you've got a couple of really juicy pieces, and I'll always have something to say about it.
Roger, I don't really have enough time to get into everything that's gone on in Canada here in the last 6 weeks, but absolutely.
Oh, in the last 6 weeks, I have.
Yeah, SNC-Lavalin and all the connections and how it tied into Kinder Morgan and how the Saudis are involved with SNC-Lavalin and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But what it's done is really, really woken up Canadians to the absolute corruption inside our government. I've never seen the chatter and the polls and the response I'm seeing right now in Canada towards what I see going on in Ottawa. So it's a good thing. What'll come of it, I'm not sure. If this guy isn't criminally charged by the RCMP, then we truly know that our society isn't under a fascist dictator, because there has been now 6 former attorney generals of Canada write letters to the RCMP asking and demanding a full investigation. The whole country screaming for a proper investigation. They shut down the Justice Committee the other day, which is controlled by a Liberal majority. We are basically under a full-blown dictatorship. Trudeau is partying in Florida right now, and he is hiding his head, man. But it's going to come out. This is really, really deep. Never seen a scandal. This is the biggest scandal in Canadian history. But it really is only the tip of the iceberg, Roger. This is being exposed, but how many more of these events have gone on that we've never heard of? And I say kudos to Jody Wilson for coming forward and exposing what she did and opening this can of worms, because it is a huge can of worms. And I don't think they're going to be able to put the lid back on this one. Where it's going, Roger, I'm not sure. But I just had a look at a poll here yesterday on Trudeau's popularity, and he's down at 27% now from... Holy smokes, unbelievable. Now, there's polls I don't put a lot of faith in, but this was done amongst 3,000 random Canadians, and he's showing 27% support now, down from about 48% 2 years ago.
Well, so, I got to tell you something.
The popularity is definitely declining.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got to tell you something. When I think, okay, of Trudeau, I also think of Macron.
Of who? Macron. Oh, yeah, they're buddies, man.
Okay. Brothers. They not only look alike, they both look like sleazebags, okay? They both look like they are wimps and pimps. And what do I mean by that? They're wimps because they are controlled 100%. Anybody who thinks that either Trudeau or Macron have any spine at all, you're an idiot, all right? Yeah, I pull no bones. This is an absolute fact. These guys are the biggest puppets on the planet. They are twerps. They are – and, God, just – I saw a picture the other day. I'm going to send it to you, Barry, of these two standing side by side. And I couldn't figure who was the bigger He-Man or pretending to be the biggest He-Man.
They look like they just want to give each other a big hug and a kiss.
Oh, yeah. And I'll bet they did that before they came out in front of the camera.
We'll go with that one. That's a good one to go into, Roger.
We look at France, okay, and we are looking at another French Revolution. My question is, does it come to hangman's nooses again? And I may be speaking metaphorically, okay? I may not be actually talking about stringing them up, but I may be talking about literally pulling Macron out of power. I'm going to tell you what, if Trudeau keeps on that slippery slope he's on, I can see the Canadian people. I can see the provinces rising up. I can also see in America that the conservative side of this country is so absolutely fed up with this liberal bullcrap that they're ready to step out. Now, you've got the Brits, okay, with Brexit, they're being screwed over again. They're ready to step up and kick a little ass. Are you listening to me? Okay, we're talking about this going on in Australia. We're talking about this going on in Great Britain. We're talking about this going on, believe it or not, in Germany. We're talking about this going on in France. We're talking about it going on in Canada, the United States, Sweden, Finland,
everywhere.
Switzerland.
I know, Roger. I'm watching it. I'm watching it, and it is a global agenda, and it is in our face.
And the thing of it is, there's a lot of people around this planet who are saying, we ain't going quickly, we ain't going quietly, and there's 7.5 billion of us.
Yeah, you know, what's really a shame, Roger, we talk about media silence. The media silence on what's going on right now in France is despicable. That what's going on there right now should be on major TV networks in the United States of America.
Okay, stop.
Really
right there.
Go ahead.
Stop right
okay.
there.
Okay,
stop.
Right
there. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Liberty Beacon Project has a website that is home-based in Paris, France. And Pam Barker, who is the director of Europe Reloaded, keeps us informed not only what's going on, but what's going on right outside of her window. So if you guys want to know what's going on in the, I don't know, the armpit of tyranny in Europe right now, check out Europe Reloaded, because this woman was actually born in England. She's English. She lives in France right now, right outside of Paris. So she, yeah, no English problem there. And the stories are phenomenal. So I'm very glad you brought that up, Mary.
Oh, it's something that people really got to pay attention to, because all we're seeing is a precursor of what's coming to our society in a few years from now.
Do you remember me having a conversation whereby I said, if we consider what is qualified as the prelude to war, we are already in World War III? Do you remember me saying that?
Yep.
On the last show? Okay.
Yep.
All right. So let's consider at this point, okay, all of what we are discussing. If you just take a look at what's going on globally, and you don't think we're not in the precursors of a global, I don't know, uprising, a global war, then you're just not looking right.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Roger. I agree. We see every nation rattling sabers at each other right now. We see India and Pakistan ready to go to war. We see China ready to go to war over the South China Sea. The whole
Pakistan,
world is rattling their sabers at each other right now.
Pakistan and India are the biggest issue in this country right now. See, the United States, China and Russia, we all know that any one of the three of us has the ability to totally snuff all life out on this planet. All three of us. China's probably at least reached that point by now, okay? Not only that, but you must also consider that these used to be the two biggest enemies on the planet. They were fighting constantly. There were constant bloodbaths between Pakistan and India, right? Mm-hmm. Then they come across this, everything's okay, we've got our borders, all right, and we're not killing each other anymore. The biggest thing that happened since all of that is they are now both proud owners of nuclear weapons. That right there, we're talking about societies that may not have the, how the hell do I put this, may not be as sophisticated, okay, as a Western world nation, especially in Pakistan. It might be a hair trigger that starts launching a half a dozen nukes. Once that happens, whether it comes from India or Pakistan, the other side will have absolutely no, they're going to have to launch as well, literally. So even in a limited strike between Pakistan and India, we could be looking at anywhere from a half a dozen to a couple dozen nukes. At that point,
awfully bad day for the Earth, Roger.
That would make an awfully bad day for the Earth. We're talking about nuclear winter.
I know that, but I'm going to let you talk about that just for a minute, because I've looked at the implications of any kind of large-scale nuclear explosions going off the Earth simultaneously, and what it would do to our atmosphere and what it would do to our planet. We are looking at a possible extinction event with as little, one report I read, Roger, was, you know, 40 nukes going off on the planet simultaneously.
That's what I just said.
Would basically spell almost an extinction-level event for the human race.
It would be close. I mean, there are places you can hide, so on and so forth, but even that's not going to be safe, and let me explain that to you. No, you're absolutely right, okay? Look, if you have even 40 nukes going off, what you need to understand, unless these are air bursts, right, these are ground bursts, what they are going to do is lift megatons of dirt and dust into the upper atmosphere, and it is going to form basically a shield over the northern hemisphere. Now, the southern hemisphere, maybe not quite so bad, believe it or not, okay, because there is a division there. But the northern hemisphere, you will have a nuclear winter that will last 2 to 3 years. Nothing will grow. Nothing. The temperatures will be below freezing, the whole nine yards. So if you stop to consider that, then you say, okay, but all of these people who started that crap, they can go hide in their little bunkers underground and come up 100 years later, and they've got the whole planet to themselves. Okay, so we just talked about 40 nukes, you and me, right, going off. That's not enough to irradiate the entire planet. There may be a big chunk of the Earth that you can't live on for 10,000 years, but it's not enough to irradiate the whole planet. So, yeah, they go into their holes, and they come up 100 years later, and they die. Why did they die? Because there's over 200 nuclear reactors across this planet. And when you have the air burst, they will cut off all electricity, including what's required to keep those reactors cool. Within 48 hours, you will have hundreds of nuclear reactors melting down across the planet. Think of Fukushima and the fact that it's almost totally destroyed the entire northern Pacific Ocean all by itself. Imagine 200 more of them going off. This planet will be so irradiated, life will be impossible on it for at least, at a minimum, 10 to 20,000 years. Thank Absolutely. You, nuclear.
Yeah, Roger. It's, you know what? The subject of nuclear insanity is something that I've covered many, many times on my shows. And right now, the way I see it, and maybe I don't have it 100% correct, but if we don't right now as a human race stop the use of nuclear power, find a way to dispose of all the nuclear waste that we've already created, shut down these plants right away, and stop this process, we are going to kill ourselves. Because it's inevitable, Roger, that we are going to see, and we know right now that the Earth is an incredible time of geological events. If you look at the rise of earthquake activity on the planet, and don't believe me, go look at the rise in earthquake activity and volcanic activity on the planet in the last 2 years alone. The spikes are undeniable. So we're in a very, very high time of geological events. We have nuclear power plants built all over this planet, sitting right on top of or very close to major fault lines that are going to create 8 and 9s in the future. We know that.
97%. 97% of all of the reactors are built on or too close to fault lines.
I know. I did that study one night, Roger. The first time I did that, and I gave it to Chuck Uccelli, because Chuck didn't believe it when I said it to him, but I did it myself. I printed them up on a transparent piece of paper, and I overlaid them on each other, and I fell off my chair. Literally, I fell off the chair. Yep. And I said that to Chuck, and he went and he did the same thing. He fell off his chair. It's insanity, Roger. Yep. Do we have time to stop it? That's my question. Do we have time right now?
We could strip the cores out, but see what most people don't understand. And again, I constantly say that because they don't, and that's yours and my job, and that's to tell them. What most people don't understand is that the amount of actual fissionable material right now that's being used is minor. What isn't minor is the ton upon ton upon ton of spent fuel rods. Now, don't let the word spent get you fooled. It just means it's not quite hot enough to be super efficient in the reactor. But if you stand next to one, you're going to die.
Very quickly.
And there are tons and tons and tons and tons of these spent fuel rods. You got to understand this has been going on since, what, basically the early 1960s? So you're looking at 50 to 60 years of global accumulation of spent fuel rods. They have no freaking idea what to do with.
Well, I know, Roger. Well, then let's talk about the amount of plutonium that's at Hanford. I mean, we got enough plutonium there to kill the planet 87 times over in one facility that you happens know, to be close to a nuclear to a major fault line. Duh.
God did this right, okay? And I'm being a little facetious here, not about God, but about, you know, the whole situation. God did this right. He took things that could cause major damage to human society or even our physiology, and he spread it all over the earth, or he buried it deep. It's like aluminum, okay? It's in the soil everywhere. It's the most abundant metal on the planet, but it's not free aluminum. It doesn't look like, act like, it's not the aluminum we play with every day, okay? It's all different. Barry, where do you think I'm going with this?
You kind of actually just lost me there for a minute, Roger. Nuclear power plant to spend to aluminum. Hang on, let me catch up with you there. Hang on. Roger, I am on a site that tells me about scrams every day at nuclear power plants in the United States of America. And there, folks, there's scrams going on every day that you're not hearing about.
But most
a scram is a minor event, Roger, but a precursor to a big event. Go ahead.
A scram is where you lose control of the rods, okay? And if that stays that way, or that actually exacerbates, it could lead to a core meltdown. Okay, so that's a scram. And what most people don't understand, I know I say that a lot. What a lot of people don't understand, there you go, is that scrams are they're not a good thing. Okay, but when somebody tells you the reactor is critical, and everybody goes, oh my God, like on Saturday Night Live or whatever, oh my God, the reactor is critical. If somebody says to you the reactor is critical, it's normal. It's doing what it's supposed to do. If a reactor is not critical, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So the terms that we would consider to be oops, ouch, they're the, oh yeah, that's right. Hello?
No, I agree with Roger, but I'm just saying, you know, how long has nuclear power been around the world? Since the early 60s? Why it was brought into society, how society was duped. Well, that's another story by itself. But the fact is that we've had nuclear power for, what, almost 80 years now on the planet Earth, and we see what it's doing to the planet. And
well,
like
that's
I said,
because we're using fish.
My biggest question is if the human race has to wake up to the threat.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
And if we don't, then we are, the way I see it, without being pessimistic, we're doomed, okay? I don't know how else to put that in a phrase that sounds optimistic because I don't want to sound like a doomsdayer. But realistically, we are doomed if we don't eliminate nuclear power off the planet, period.
And it's not only nuclear power.
We have the alternatives.
Yes, it's not even just nuclear power, okay? I'm not one of these people that will tell you that we've got to give up all of our cars, all of our jets, and kill all the cows because they fart. Oh, gee, that would be that crazy junior... Oh, God, Congressman, she absolutely drives me nuts.
She drives me nuts, too.
AOC, but anyway.
Cortez.
This is what politics have come to.
Yeah, now you got a Muslim in Congress. What's her name? Iraq or whatever her name is. I can't even pronounce her name.
These things don't normally bother me, except that what you need to understand, see, if she is, then she's doing exactly what she's supposed to. Is she representing the people who elected and sent her there? If that's the way they feel, that's exactly what she should be saying. Now, anybody out there who doesn't like what I'm saying right now, maybe you ought to learn how our government works, okay? All of these congressmen, there's how many? Some states have a hell of a lot of congressmen because they've got a big population. Some states only have a few because they have hardly any population. But these people are there to reflect the ideas and the beliefs of those who elected them. If That's the idiots that sent this dummy to Congress. If that's the way they think and that's what they want, and I haven't heard anybody in her district screaming bloody murder at her, then they're getting what they want, and she's doing exactly what she's supposed to do, whether she looks like an idiot or not.
Of course, she's playing her role, Roger. I understand that. Of course. Yeah. Yes. Rule call. But,
yeah, the thing of it is, she is so arrogant. At the same time, she's so ignorant. It's okay to be ignorant if you're not arrogant, and it's okay to be arrogant if you're not ignorant. But being ignorant and arrogant makes you look like a fool. And damn it, she's got that stamped 3-inch-tall letters on her forehead.
Yeah, but the fact that people actually still listen to her scares me.
She loves social media.
There's a small sector of society. Well, yeah, but there is a small sector of society, very, very small, that actually listens to what this lady is saying. And it's resonating. And it just makes you wonder, man. It really does, how far we've gone. What's happened to America, Roger?
Well, you talked
in such a state. And I see it now.
You talked about getting rid of the nuclear power. I'm talking about getting rid of the nuclear power, getting rid of internal combustion, getting rid of everything that we know disrupts the ecology or the ecosystem or our health.
100%.
Now, what are we going
to
use,
my friend? All the answers to everything we're doing right now, destructive to the planet, we have those answers in front of us. It's getting society to embrace it. Unfortunately, Roger, a lot of people in society aren't going to get really active and do something until it directly affects them, because they can still go to the store and still get food. But all of a sudden, that's going to stop. And I say that, and people go, what? But, you know, it could. The breakdown of the food system, the breakdown of our food chain is a real reality right now. It could happen tomorrow, the complete breakdown. And that happens, then people will get involved. But by that time, it's going to be too late. Time to get involved is now, Roger.
I not only believe that, but I also believe that the power issue, and I never say anything off the top of my head, Barry, you know me. I can always be called to task for anything I say. I truly believe that there is unlimited energy right at your fingertips. And no, I don't mean reaching out and touching something. I mean literally right at the end of your fingertips. No, it's not even static, okay? It is transdimensional energy. And this is where Tesla was going. This is what Tesla was working at. He literally reached out transdimensional and pulled in energy. That was free energy. Free energy, okay? You didn't have to burn anything to make it. You didn't have to nucleotize anything to make it. You didn't have to put up big reflectors to suck up the sunlight. Nothing, okay? This is why he was forced out, and most people won't say this, but I will, and eventually shut down. I mean physically. Okay. I mean snuffed.
Yeah.
Well, because he literally would have put Edison and all of these new billionaires out of business.
Exactly, Roger. Hey, listen, you know what? The hour's gone very, very quickly for now. Well, you know what? I'm gonna get you back in a couple of weeks if you got another hour, Roger, and we'll carry on this conversation. But the hour's gone really quick, and it always does when I get talking with you. So the last couple of minutes here, maybe you want to share your sites with people where they can find you, and we'll shut out the show for the week.
Well, I'm not going to give all of the sites because the Liberty Beacon Project is, in fact, a network. But the LibertyBeacon.com is our flagship. TLBTV.com is the TV network. And, of course, The Falling Darkness and Europe Reloaded. And we're about to relaunch UK Reloaded. So we're going to have Europe covered very well. But the key and the heart to all of it is the LibertyBeacon.com. And Barry, you probably know that better than most people, considering you and I have been friends for over 5 years, and you've been contributing stuff or having me on your show for over 5 years. You're one of my oldest friends, and yes, I mean that in both aspects.
Remember, I'm 15 days older than you, Roger, so respect your elders.
Okay, all right, I got it. Sorry, boss.
Hey, Roger, back at you, buddy. I always love having you on, and I know my audience appreciate the information that you bring forward, and we'll get you back on here again real soon. Thanks for joining me today, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Always.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for joining me this week. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed having Vinny on for the first hour, though I didn't get a chance to say much. He brought some really good information forward. And same thing with the second hour here. I didn't get to say a lot, but my guest always brings forward great information. So thanks for tuning in and listening. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all, and I love you, and have a great week. Bye for now.